Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This episode is brought to you by Undeniably Dairy. Did you know some cows might be snacking on seaweed? Dairy farmers are researching potential nutritional changes to their cows' diet to help reduce methane emissions. Additional research and innovation are helping them save water and spend less energy on every glass of milk. To learn more about what dairy farmers are doing to make their farms more sustainable, visit usdairy.com.
Hey, everybody, it's Scott.
And I'm Kim.
And this is The Skim Show. That's right, The Scott and Kim Show, coming at you live from November 3rd, 2020. That's right, we're voting today. Well, we already voted.
We voted.
We voted the other day.
All three of our kids voted.
All kinds of people were bugged by... I did video of me getting out of the car and putting our two ballots in.
Yeah.
And people were annoyed. Or not annoyed. They all had questions about two things about that video.
Okay.
Not about the voting. All that looked fine. Their question was... How did I fit in that Passat? Because they thought I was really jammed in there.
You're pretty jammed in there.
But I'm jammed into all cars.
I would say you're just, it looks awkward when you're getting in because you turn to your side and then you put your knees in, so it always looks too small.
I'm just a big, tall guy. 6'4" means you got to wedge into things weird. Okay, so that's number one.
That's what people asked about?
Yeah, that was weird, right? Because I said, I did it, or something like that. And they said, yeah, you fit into that Passat just barely, or whatever. And then the other thing was there was your bag, one of your colorful, like, backpacky bags. You change your bag a lot, like, swap them out.
I only have two. What are you talking about?
Well, between the two, then.
One's a backpack. I use it in the summer when I have short sleeves. And then I trade over to a purse that goes over my arm in the winter because it's a lot easier with coats and
jackets. Well, I don't remember what was there the other day, but whatever was in the car, people are like, what is all in that car? It's all over the place. I'm like, what are you talking about? Where were your feet are supposed to go? It looks like you had to clean out your car. I'm like,
purse.
That's her bag.
It's a purse, and it's... What? I'm trying to
I don't know why people thought it was a mess.
Car.
Yeah.
My car is very clean.
That's what I thought was weird.
All the time.
I was like, what are you talking about? This is, like, not that big a deal. But anyway, I'm glad we voted and got it done early, and I figured out how you can track your ballot so you can see, you make sure it's got counted.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't even know that. Yeah. I haven't looked up mine.
I have to wait until it shows up, because they compare it against the state database. So once it goes in and gets counted, then your
it'll show
name
that it's been
will
counted.
Show that you have been counted, and then you can say, "Oh, okay, cool, it got counted." And it'll also track like what pickup was it, when did it get counted, like all
okay,
that.
Okay, that's good to know.
So
if it didn't show up by today or tomorrow, you'd be like, "Hold on a second."
Well, I've never had an election where I cared about that. Like tracking my vote,
right?
But this time I do, so we won't get into why.
Usually, we're able to walk into our voting place and go right to a booth, and we go in the middle of the day when there's not a lot of people there, and we walk in and we actually get to vote. We get the sticker, you get to talk to people. Nah, this year I don't want to talk to anybody.
Plus, if you have a love of stickers, today's your day, man. That's it. That's how you're gonna get a sticker.
Yeah, except I don't want to walk into any place and touch anything.
Yeah, I don't want to do it. So we didn't do it. We used Utah's already well-established vote-by-mail system, although we did a drop-off because we don't trust the mail at the moment. The mail's a little weird.
It's a little slow.
Yeah.
So we did a drop-box that's at our city hall, which we feel very confident is a good place to vote.
Yep. Even though my favorite pizza place is by there.
Even though? Is that a problem?
No, that's actually a good thing. Or it's bad if I want to eat.
Is that a bad thing that it's near your pizza place?
That pie place is so good. It's only good for the first 10 minutes because the cheese is like molten epicness. Yeah. It's so
good. I used to like to go into the place because they have very cool brick walls that everyone signs their name on with a Sharpie.
Yeah,
and I carry a Sharpie in my crazy, messy bag.
I like a restaurant that lets you draw on stuff. I like that.
Anytime.
I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Anyway, so just so people know, that was your bag. It wasn't a bunch of trash.
No, our car's very, very clean.
You're pretty clean with your car.
I actually have a cover that goes on the back seat when the dogs go in my car.
Mm-hmm.
Never anything on the floor.
Nick, we can't account for as much.
Except my purse.
His car's pretty messy.
That's,
my daughter's 20. Car's messy.
Like, eh.
And my car was always messy.
He cleans it up when he goes on a date. Yeah. That's about it.
Yeah, which he doesn't have a lot of these days.
Those are few and far between these days. Yeah. It's just hard to meet people.
This is true.
I feel really bad about that.
His dog pooped in it.
Bad for them.
Who? Because they can't date?
Neither of them can.
Who? Him and Carter? Yeah.
Yeah. It just is a really rough time for that. For finding your soulmate.
You know what they used to do in the 1600s?
What's that?
People would make them date each other. They couldn't get any dates.
Well, yeah, that's true. Take your sister to the prom.
Yep. End up with a one-eyed grandkid. Anyway, so we've been...
they look like twins already. It would be really weird.
It'd be pretty weird. We've been circling around the old election drain, trying to keep sane. It's a little intense this year. And
we took the dogs for a walk and walked past one of our voting places, the one we usually go to.
Yeah.
And there were lots of cars. It made me very happy.
Mm-hmm.
People were there voting.
Well, that's the worry today, isn't so much that people can't vote, is that it will take a long time because of record numbers of voters this year.
Yes.
In pre and post.
Pre-end day. The pre-voting, the before today voting, was at 100 million.
Yeah, it's a record. An all-time
record.
So
great.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
I love that.
Whatever their motivations are, it's great.
People are getting involved. And for a long time, we just begged our kids to get involved. Not ours, but kids in general at 18 and older, 18 to 25. And this year, they're doing it, man.
I got to give some credit. And there's going to be some old boomer who disagrees with me here. But I got to give credit to the Gen Z crowd, the 20 through 25 crowd.
Yeah.
I feel like they've got their crap together.
They got it together. They're trying really hard, even though it's really hard for them because, as all the boomers are always telling them, including our children from grandparents and
Kim and I are boomers, but we got some right above us.
They get a little bit of a hard time from them. Carter said that she actually heard the words from a relative.
You're
not gonna say
names.
Why you don't you should have. I by the time I was your age, I had a house and I was in college and da da da. And Carter's like, seriously, how the hell am I supposed to afford a house when minimum wage is what it is? She's in college and she works full-time. She actually has a great job.
And the housing market sucks.
She could never afford a house right now.
Yeah, the housing market's so bad for people like that.
He would never give her that loan because she is working full-time. Nick is working full-time. And they make rent.
And these are people that are saying that paid less than we did for that Volkswagen.
Yeah, that's true.
For their house. You know what I mean?
That's true.
When you and I first got married.
But I just am frustrated because I want to just shake him and go, I mean, they're kind of old. I shouldn't shake them. But I want to shake them and say, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Do you know what a house costs right now?
They don't know. They don't pay attention. You and I were married,
they just think it's different than it is.
I was like, can we get something under 100 grand? Is that even possible in the 90s? In the 90s? It wasn't.
In the very early 90s, it was. And we were still renting, yes. We could have gotten the original house that we bought. It was 119.
Oh,
but a year before that, before it boomed up, it was in the 60s to 70 range. We weren't able at that time to get a house. We weren't there yet. We were newly married.
Mm-hmm.
There was just no way to, you know.
But 119 seemed really expensive at the time.
It was. It
still is.
Still, I mean, if Carter could find a house for 119, I think she'd jump on it.
Because all these townhomes around here, 500, 600 grand.
They're fours. They're in the fours.
The ones on the river, one on the lake over there, 600.
Yes, but I mean, not the ones on the lake. I don't think.
But there are houses. There are houses on the lake that are 3 million.
Oh yeah,
it's ridiculous.
And it's fine.
How can the kids? I know, but the kids can't afford anything.
But the kids can't afford anything. No.
So what I'm saying is, their future is in their hands because the generation above us sure didn't help them out. And Gen X, which is us, we don't know what we're doing. I mean, we're trying the best we can just to make it work.
I feel like Gen X kind of messed it up with, there's a lot of people we knew in 08 that helped cause that crash because they were very happy to just get in the biggest, baddest house they could get. No matter what they made, they were able to get whatever they wanted. A lot of people in our age group that did that.
Yeah,
we
but they
didn't.
Ended up getting kicked out of it.
Yes.
None of them stayed. We did the conservative thing and stayed
we
put.
We were very conservative, stayed put, and we, even though our property value went down, we never were upside down on it, which
was... No, because it came up eventually. We waited long enough for it to recover.
Yes.
And here is the same Scary thing. Stuff. We could sell for a big chunk right now. But
where are you going
to
go?
Where are we going to go? We have to pay another giant chunk. Yeah. So it's super weird. But anyway, I don't know why I brought that up, except to say the kids will be all right.
They're going to be okay.
The future's theirs.
It's funny to watch the married ones talk about, oh, man, we could move somewhere else. We could totally, you know, get a great house for a great price. And I'm like, but you have a grandbaby, and please don't take him anywhere.
Yeah, but where are they going to move? Means they're going to move somewhere nobody else wants to be. You know what I mean?
Dylan's like, I saw a house for this much in Mississippi. I've never wanted to move to Mississippi more in my life. And I'm like, just for the house, really?
That's not enough.
Because there's not enough reason to move.
No.
Somewhere that, you know, I mean, I grew up there. There's nothing wrong with Mississippi.
No, Mississippi's fine.
But it's far from
here.
It's
a faraway place. Your job, what
usually
he does for
far away from
yeah,
home.
That's going to be weird. They don't need to move. We have bias in this, though, so we
can. Yeah, that's true. That's why.
Speak to it, but I'd love
like,
it if they find something less. They can find less expensive stuff in like central Utah somewhere. Go to Scipio or whatever.
It's Scipio, and I don't know if they'd have a job there either.
I thought it was Scipio.
The problem with that is
that's what I want to do
is finding a job when you get there. If you were to move there because of a job, that'd be awesome. You could definitely do that.
Why don't we...
They're in a townhouse, and they love it, and it's beautiful, and it's perfect for them right now. They don't have a yard, and so it's sad.
Let's move to St. George.
I would move to St. George in a heartbeat.
I would, too. We just have to find the right deal. We're going there soon. We're going to look around. Not anything immediate, but just want to see what the market is right now.
They're probably just as bad as everywhere else. It's a seller's market right now, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And that's like, fine. I am happy to stay right here.
I bet if we put it up, we'd sell it in like 2 days.
Yeah, probably.
But then what would we do?
I know. We'd have to move right away to...
I don't want to be house poor.
No. I don't want to move and start all over.
Yeah, we're not doing that. I hate moving.
And if we went to St. George now, we'd be far away from the kids.
Yeah, we don't want to do that. No. They're supposed to do that to us and make us mad, not the other way around. All right. Well, we have some emails today. Would you like to hear some of these emails?
I would love to.
Some of these came in a little late. We didn't have a show last week. Things were a little nuts. Halloween's even happened in between now and then.
I don't even know how to pinpoint why it felt so nuts last week, but it got real crazy.
It got real crazy here. I don't know why.
Just some weeks are crazier than others.
Do you want to talk about your gumbo, or when should we do that? We'll do that after this.
Okay, let's
read it. Kim made gumbo, and it's fantastic. Renee Gum wrote in. Says, hope all is well. Staying safe and all that jazz. Kim, any cool sweet recipes you've made recently that you could make for Halloween? Actually, this might be a good time to talk about that.
Perfect.
Says, would love the chocolate chip caramel pumpkin spice cookie recipe. Found a new show I'm totally into. It's called 90 Day Fiance. Is like the best. How do you guys feel about reality TV? Hope you guys are well. Miss you much. Haven't got to be on TMS much, but catching episodes with Skim and TMS as I can. Take care of both of you and the kids, Liz Gum, a.k.a. Nurse Liz. So,
Nurse Liz, to start off, on Halloween, I made seafood gumbo. It's kind of scary looking, so I thought
it's super scary. It's all gravy and dark.
It's kind of like mud.
It looks like mud with crab legs in it.
Well, it had shrimp and sausage and...
What else?
I didn't put okra in it. My uncle's mad at me for that because he's like, where's the okra? And
Okra's
I'm like,
overrated.
I don't really love okra. It's kind of got a funny texture, and I didn't think all the kids would like it either. I've eaten it with
okra's
with it
like a bunch of little chimpanzee anuses. They just are weird.
I like fried okra a lot.
I don't. I don't like any okra.
Love it.
Okra's a plant or a vegetable,
so
I should say.
I made seafood gumbo and bought 3 pounds of snow crab legs. Because
fresh caught.
Because the
wild caught. What do you call it?
I did get wild caught.
That's what they say.
Crab meat, lump crab meat, and put in there, so it was all shredded in there, and then add sausage. Post serving because Carter didn't want it.
So wait, what's the grew made out of? Because you call it a grew.
It's a roux.
Oh, sorry, a roux. What was I thinking of? What's a grew?
A little plant.
No, there's a little some tree. Creature called grew.
Yes, grew.
Grew. Anyway. So roux, sorry, roux, like Roux McClanahan from the Golden Girls. It's a roux.
It's a roux, and you make it. It takes about 45 minutes to make because it's
flour. How do you make the flavor?
It's flour and butter and oil.
Yeah.
And you literally stir it consistently for 45 minutes until it turns this dark brown, almost chocolate color.
You almost burn it,
and then you add the onions and celery and garlic and...
How do you get it to taste like beef? Because there's a little bit of beef in there. Right?
No. There's no beef in there.
It has the quality of something beefy. Like a stew.
It's pretty beefy stew.
Yeah.
But it does not have beef in it.
There's no beef in it.
No.
Okay, so it's crab.
So it did have the lump crab meat, but it, I mean, it has the gumbo filet, which is a really good seasoning. It had some slap your mama seasoning, salt and pepper, a little bit of smoked sea salt I put in there.
Yeah.
Lots of good stuff like that. You kind of go with the flavors you like, and I like a little bit of thyme or...
we haven't had gumbo in like 20 years, or that you've made.
That I've made.
Yeah,
I've had stuff in a restaurant. It's not exactly your healthy fare.
It's like drinking gravy.
It's like right out of the gravy boat. Stew.
Yeah, which is amazing, and it's okay for
really
once in a while.
Good to eat.
But unlike your jambalaya, you're not going to eat it all the time.
The jambalaya is... I make that more often because it's healthy. Yeah. It has tons of vegetables and it's really good vegetables.
Clear, like a clear broth.
It's a broth in there, yeah. It's true.
So that's
but
fine with me.
But it was good because it was...
But I like this as a...
It had big claws coming out of
it. If you said from now on our Halloween thing is this, I'd be fine with that.
Okay.
But
I used to do what's it called? Chili every year for Halloween.
Oh, yeah. But everyone does chili.
And I just wanted to do something different. It's a weird year, and I was like, let's go with some serious comfort food, and that was perfect.
That big giant crab legs hanging out of the pot looked like a big spider pot.
It was so good.
It was
though.
So good.
I love
oh
crab
gosh.
Legs.
But
oh
you won't
gosh.
Let us eat it past like 3 days. You're afraid it'll go bad.
Well, it has a lot of seafood in it.
Yeah, but it should
but
be
it's
okay.
Not, we ate it twice.
Refrigerated.
We ate it twice.
What about a third time?
You can have it for dinner tonight, but I was going to make this really good spaghetti.
Oh, let's do that instead. That sounds good. You can only have so much gumbo.
I also made Scott shakshuka last week for
one day. Shakshuka. Tell us about shakshuka and his amazing...
It's really good. It's kind of this tomato-y bear. Stew thing with bell peppers and onions in it. Very tomato-y and...
the egg part was the interesting
you
bit.
Cook it all up and make it all like boiling in the little pan. Not boiling, kind of simmering.
Yeah.
And then you throw a couple of eggs in, and the way you like your eggs, that's how long it takes to get finished. You like yours medium well,
yeah.
So it took about 10 minutes to get them all.
That was
the whites all done.
Fantastic. I've never had anything like it. It was so good. And
so
you
if
learned
you want something weird
she's
and different.
She's watching How Do You Feed Phil or whatever it is.
Somebody Feed Phil.
Somebody
is my
Feed
favorite,
Phil.
One of my favorite shows.
She loves
it's
that
so
show
fun.
On Netflix. He's always running around going, let me eat the thing you got. And it'll be all over the world or whatever. And you watched an episode where they made this, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm making that.
I've made it before.
I never remember it.
Well, that's your own fault. I have made it for you before. But
that's your own weakness as
a
memory person.
I made my own version of it this time. I just changed up a little bit.
Okay.
But I like I like to play with the seasonings and make it all stronger, I think. That's why. But it's really good. You can, and I did throw some, it's usually a vegetarian dish.
Yeah.
I did throw some crumbled bacon on top for you.
Oh.
I'm just getting
it was
hungry
so
right
good.
Now.
I don't even know how to describe it. Like, I don't know if I would call it. That felt like food. Once in a while, you'll make something where it feels like food I would have paid $16 for somewhere.
You would have, it would have been an
like
out,
a fancier restaurant.
Meal.
Yeah. Like a place where they're like, oh, you have to try our special today. It's the shakshuka with the freaking yeah. whatever. And I'd go, really?
Like
is it good?
Eggs.
And they're like, well, it's tomato. And then, like, that's what I felt like I was eating.
It was
utterly
turned out good.
Amazing.
And
yeah.
then we have our very much our staple stay home comfort food, which was I made potato corn chowder.
Yeah, that's
but I do make it with almond milk.
It's better. Regular milk
it's
makes
not,
you.
I mean, it does have
gross.
Some sour cream in there too, so it's not like you know.
Yeah, but regular
dairy
milk
free
it
or
makes
anything.
It feel overwhelming and gross to me.
Yeah,
I get
it's
all
too
thick
much.
And just bleh. Doesn't make me feel good after I'm done.
It
but when you do the almond milk, it doesn't taste anything like it tastes normal. So I'm not noticing the almond. And it's a little thinner, but the taste is great. It's fantastic.
Oh,
I used to
like
not
it.
Like your corn chowder soup thing, and now I like it.
Because it was too thick.
Too thick. Too much milk. It just made you feel like an overloaded pig.
But I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, it's very good.
And that's really good with, like, turkey or bacon or turkey bacon bits.
Right.
It's really good on there.
Now, the one thing we haven't told Nurse Liz is we're not baking a lot of like sugary things because I'm off the sug, but also Kim's not really a baker.
No, the problem with baking is, honestly, if I had made brownies or cookies or cakes, it would be there watching me and I would want to eat it all day long.
Yeah.
And so I like to bake when there's an event and I know it's all going to be gone at the end of the night.
Yeah.
It's not going to be at home, you know, where I'm walking past it going, I'll just have another bite. Oh, just one more bite. That's what happens with brownies at our house.
I'll admit. Oh, yeah. No, like if there's like a, especially those Texas pan,
the
sheet cakes.
Man,
gosh, dang
so
it,
good.
Dude. Just saying the words makes my mouth water.
You know what? I found that in a cookie version. They're individual cookies.
Can you sweeten it with stevia or something else?
I can try.
Okay.
We can try that.
You can buy stevia in a bag. It's kind of expensive, though.
I have some of it.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
We could try that.
We can try it. We'll try it. We'll see.
It's got a weird aftertaste.
We'll let you know how
it
goes because it has a funny aftertaste.
Yeah. I've gotten used to it with those Zevia drinks. No problem. Like
If I did the stevia, but I put a lot less than it even called for, that might be the way to go. Because then it would just be less sweet.
Right. So, Liz, I hope that answers your question.
Yes, sorry. Kim, we went long there.
Kim should put, you should put that, give me that gumbo thing and all that, and I'll put it on the blog. And people can get it if they want it. Unless you don't want to share that one.
I can share it.
Is that your grandma's recipe?
No, but this is the problem with most recipes. And everyone can complain if they want to. I don't follow recipes very well. I change it up. I make it my own with almost every recipe I use. Mm. Whether I omit something, whether I add a lot of things, usually a lot of the seasonings and flavors I change up. And I'll just taste it.
Just
go,
do it on
the
fly.
It just needs a little bit. Yeah.
You say, hey, come taste this. And the rest
of us
can
pick it. I don't
have
a recipe.
Yeah.
My jambalaya recipe, I made it so many times and people asked me for so long about the recipe. I finally wrote down a recipe as I was making it one time.
I think there's a technology coming in not too far off future
mm-hmm.
where you'll be able to take a sample of something that anyone made, dump it in there, and it will go beep, 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 and it'll poop out on a screen and send to your phone or whatever the exact ingredients of that sample.
But tell me, have I ever made anything that tastes exactly the same every time
no,
I make it?
No, even your jambalaya is different every time, even though you have a pretty standard recipe for
it. I enjoy taking something that I have a recipe for, making it close to what the recipe calls for, and then I'll smell seasoning and go, ooh, a little bit of that would be good.
And for all of you who are asking, did Scott drop a peanut or a toothpick in any of this? No, I didn't. Okay, I didn't this time.
No,
I have a toothpick right
no,
now.
No, he did. You do.
This may end up
and
on the floor.
And I find them everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm really, always afraid to step on them.
They piss him off like nothing else.
Look, I've stepped on one before.
The only other question she had on here was this whole thing about how do we feel about reality TV. For me, I feel like we are okay with reality TV when it isn't contrived. British Bake Off
is a
great British baking
show. That's kind
show,
of the only one I really enjoy.
That we like, because especially food related, because it doesn't feel like they're making a bunch of fake rivalries and dun-dun-dun moments and all that bullcrap. I hate that in all reality TV. But
yeah, I
like documentary-style television. Like, I want documentary, not reality.
Documentary and reality TV are very different styles.
They are in my head. So whether I'm right or not, I don't know.
So, no, we don't watch a lot of it.
No. We got one here from Audie Norman. He's an awesome part of our community. Cool dad and an artist who's amazing.
Very cool. I've seen his stuff. I've seen stuff on
I'm sure you've seen it floating around. Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
Hey, Scott and Kim, love the show and hearing from you together. Wanted to share my Inktober drawing of you since Kim doesn't do the social media. Yeah, he did a drawing during. He did it. He was like
of you?
Wicked committed to Inktober. Every day he was doing stuff, and
I
felt like a slacker. But would you like to see it before I go on?
Sure. All I'd right. love to see it.
This is me.
Oh my gosh.
Being all nervous while you are killing a bug.
Now, just so everyone knows, it's the other way around when it comes to a spider.
I know. When it's a spider, I kill it. But this is me saying, that thing is huge. Did you get it? I got it, you big old baby. It wasn't so big. But I still think his assumption about our relationship is pretty close.
The assumption of the relationship is perfect, dead
look
on.
Look at your short hair and everything
on.
He gave you.
I love it.
Yeah, isn't that
great? That's so great.
And he's always got me in cargo shorts, which is accurate.
Yes.
And hoodies. That's my.
You know what you're talking about.
That's all
about.
I wear. Anyways, let's see, where are we here? It says, also, one little thing with Scott about tattoos. He doesn't want one for the same reason I, or he doesn't want one for the same reason I don't want one. Something about being an artist makes you so much more critical about an image, especially one that's going to be on your body for the rest of your life.
And you can't change it. I agree with that.
He says, I've been trying to draw one for me, symbolizing my family, and I'm still trying. Anyways, love everything you guys talk about, especially about parenting stuff. I've got a six-year-old pair of twin boys with a little four-year-old brother. Oh, I love it. Looking forward to that book you've been talking about forever. Have a great week, possibly this week.
We are definitely looking forward to that, too.
Audie, you're awesome, and also he's a great dad.
That's a great depiction of us. I love it.
Yeah, it's very good, and we really appreciate it. But also, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, spiders. Forget it. Kim's a wuss.
I am. She's a total wuss. I hate spiders so much.
We got here one from Cappy. Okay.
Okay.
I think that's a real name.
I don't know. It's probably
not a real name.
It's probably a nickname.
Gosh dang it, this fly. I know we've done this before. But what is going on? It's November. They're supposed to all be dead. Right?
We're getting there.
All right.
It's supposed to snow this weekend.
Scott and Kim, I would like to share with you my wife and I's couple of mini vacations we took during COVID. First, I would like to tell you some of the trips we missed out on. We had a 5-day cruise to the Bahamas planned. The week they closed the boats, we weren't going to go anyways, but they closed it.
I agree. Yeah. That's
we had a long weekend.
I hate that for you.
We were going to do that in the South, but that all got canceled. We had a long Disney hotel booked for a trip booked for the wife's birthday, planning on going for all four parks, but that was also closed. He says, ouch, but we did get to rent an Airbnb on a private beach twice. It was just the two of us. We cooked our own food, did Uber Eats, that sort of stuff. Went to a very nice seafood restaurant, and it was fabulous, relaxing. It felt good to be away. I hope you guys have as good a trip as we had.
That sounds so great.
On a side note, how much garlic does Kim use in her cooking? For us, whatever the recipe says to use, we double it.
Yeah, I'd say we do that too.
Yeah.
You love garlic. So does Nick.
I love garlic when I'm eating it. I don't like it later, and I'm like, everything smells like garlic.
But I usually cook it in things with onions, and so the flavor is like this fantastic.
But
it
like
does
garlic.
Make the whole house smell a little bit like it. Though.
Nick bought and tried sardines yesterday.
Yeah, and he really
liked them. First time, he liked them. Yeah. I also like sardines, but it's been a long time, and I wasn't in the mood yesterday. But I used to love it, like just a salty, oily fish.
Yeah.
Something about it. It's good for you, too.
He loved it. He was very happy with
it. Some of it's good for you. I don't know what brands are good, but... Anyway, thank you, Cappy, for that. I feel bad about all your trips you had planned, but Kim and
I are
going
trips too.
Middle of the month here. We're going to spend a week in St. George, speaking of St. George. And kids
we're
going to
do the same thing. I'm going to cook while we're there. Mm-hmm.
We're going to
stay
isolate.
In the same place, but...
Check out some Red Rock, maybe hike if we can, if it's not too cold.
If there's not too many people out, it should be good weather.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We're looking forward to it. Kim needs it worse than I do.
I used to a lot of social.
I said this on TMS today. Kim has spent the entire COVID time helping people with their problems.
Oh, you're nice.
Giving them dinner, helping them get where they need to get done. People, we have friends, close friends who got COVID.
Little kids' hair that their
lots
mom
of kids,
didn't want
to
go
yeah,
to.
Yeah, they don't want to go to a barber, so they bring them to Kim's. I mean, Kim's basically everyone's aunt. So she's doing all this, like, sacrificing for everybody else, and you haven't had that. I don't need it so much, but I think you do.
Yeah.
But I also do need it. So we're going to go and we're going to just chill and be away. And I'm happy the kids will be here to like watch.
The kids will all be here taking care of everything.
Take care of the house
and
the dogs and everything. So it's going to be good. I wish we weren't having a surge of cases, especially in our state.
I know.
Because.
Well, that's why we're going to isolate, though.
But every time we have something coming up, it's like even just a dinner date with friends.
Yes.
Things are looking good, and then the weekend comes up, and they're like, the governor says we've had a real problem. We're like, gosh dang it, do we just cancel?
Yes, we always keep canceling on, especially our one friends that we have made plans, four times now?
Yeah.
We've canceled every time. I feel so bad.
Yeah, and we're just trying to do it right.
We're trying to do what we're supposed to do.
Sucks. And I realize there's some people that can't even do what we're about to do. So I don't want them to feel like we're being all cocky about this, because I am definitely not. Thank you, Cappy, for the message and all that. We got one from Melissa Knights. So, say Scott and Kim, writing in about your trip planned in November. My husband, daughter, and I rented a house about 2 hours away for a long weekend in July, and I could not recommend it enough. We used Airbnb, ordered food, and just enjoyed the change of scenery. Sounds like the other writer.
Yeah.
To me, it was about mixing things up and having something to look forward to. I wish cases weren't rising again because it's definitely time for us to get away again. I hope you enjoy your trip wherever you go and however small it seems. Missy in Florida.
I love it. That's such a great idea.
Is it still hurricane season and all those people have to worry about stuff?
We're getting to the end of hurricane season.
It seems like it was top heavy this year. The bad stuff was early.
It was pretty tough. I mean, we're hitting the record number of tropical storms ever.
Yeah, what's that about? There's one in the Philippines
now?
Right now that's it's so big. I can't remember what they said. It was some crazy, like, number of storms combined level of power.
Oh.
It was bad. And we never hear about that stuff because we're so focused on this dumb election. All anyone wants to talk about in America is presidential elections. And meanwhile,
there's like... Not if you're living on the Gulf Coast.
What do you mean?
They're all talking about they just keep getting hit over and over by hurricanes.
Well, they're done calling them names now. They've moved on to the Greek alphabet.
The Greek alphabet, they've done that and gone through Zeta.
Where are we in now?
I don't know. I'm not sure what this one will be called.
Should give them numbers like B567T, you know?
Yeah, but what year was storm number one? I mean, like, you can't...
Well, it doesn't sound as miserable when you say the entire coastal town of whatever was wiped out
by Catherine.
B5724B. You know what I mean?
That's true.
It doesn't have the drama. Not that you want drama, but you know
completely
what I mean.
Completely wiped out by Michael.
So here's a fun one that we can talk about. Okay. This is an interesting one from Ashley M. Who says, "Hey, Scott and Kim, I've been a longtime listener of All Things Frog Pants and really love your show. I completely understand if this topic is something you don't want to talk about on the show, but that's and okay. That's totally fine, and I completely understand. But here's my question in case you want to talk about it. Scott has made comments in the past about growing up in the Mormon religion. I myself grew up Mormon as well, but no longer practice. I was just curious on whether religion is still a strong foundation for your family. Do you still regularly attend church, etc.? Do you believe that the religion and the regular church attendance is beneficial to a family environment? I struggle with these thoughts now that I'm beginning to start my own family. Would love your input. Any information you would give or be willing to share would be great. So, here's the deal. I'm going to tell them the old story.
Well, first of all, up until March, we were attending.
Oh, yeah. We don't attend now because it's COVID.
Right.
So I teach a class of little kids every week. Or I did.
Were they 10-year-olds?
This has all changed now because of COVID. COVID changed everything. But for the last 10 years, I have like classes that range anywhere. One year they might be 7 and 8. The next year, a different class, they might be 10 to 11-year-olds, whatever. In the church, they call that primary.
Yeah, and in at least the last 7 years, it's either been Scott and I teaching together or Scott and Carter teach a class together.
Yeah. So technically, Carter and I are still teaching together. But... since COVID, all that has stopped. Rightfully so. You don't want to have all the kids exposed and everything.
Okay.
But anyway, to me, that is church. That's a weird thing to say. But helping and being around little kids in that age range is one of my favorite things on this planet. Carter, what are you doing? You don't have to sneak around. Carter just walked outside.
Mom just told me to shush.
Why?
Because we're on a show. I just wanted to
know. Oh, well, you can say words. That's fine.
You can say words.
My foot's very asleep.
Why is your foot asleep?
Because I was sitting on it.
So her and her sister are playing Animal Crossing all morning.
Wait, you've got to go.
Getting lots of work done.
Not all morning.
I'm just teasing.
It was after I finished something.
I'm just teasing. We were out here talking about what a hard worker Carter is, and then I realized, she's in there trying to buy mushrooms or whatever. Anyway. So, from a very young age, I didn't know what was happening, but what was happening is we were raised in what I would like to call the Gospel of Blaine, which is my dad's name. He had a very interesting look at religion in general, but also just within our family unit. And it was this. It was religion is not about pushing a particular theology or pushing, again, for him, I'm not saying this is going to be applied to anybody else, so don't get me wrong what I'm about to say. What I'm saying is his thing was religion provides or can provide, depending on your personality, can provide a framework under which you can make an impact and do some good in the world. That was it.
But that's all it was about.
All he wanted to do was, if you can, there are ways to help people that you may not have the resources to do without it. There are ways to have a broad footprint in people's lives in a way that's beneficial to them and that is in the name of service and has nothing to do with a set of rules or any of the things you usually associate with religion, especially organized religion.
And there are a lot of good things that come out of organized religion, some good ideas on how to successfully raise your kids and have a happy everyday life.
Potentially, but I don't even think that's so much true. What I'm getting at is my experience growing up, that was the church, or that was church, was are you striving to be a good person and have and be a good influence on other people?
Yeah, but you went every Sunday.
No, I know.
You were still there.
But to me, that's why we went. It was like like a discipline of going to a thing, attending a thing, being there. And then the focus in our family was always on those lessons of like treating people like you would want to be treated. Don't discriminate. Somebody who has less than you doesn't mean that you're better than them. You know, all those really basic tenets of Christianity that was it.
Yeah.
Like, it never got down to specifics of are you doing this or are you doing that, or if that one person, I don't know, let's say somebody, we knew somebody up the street that drank a lot. Well, that's terrible. That's not how we thought.
You weren't a bad person for that.
We didn't think that way. And Kim grew up in a family where you had a little bit of that, but I think on your dad's side, you guys got more like what my dad was like. But anyway, the bottom line, I don't want to speak for them, but the bottom line for me was, to me, church was that. It was a way of having a more public, communal expression of how are you treating people and how are you acting every day, and are you doing it for other people to see, or are you doing it for yourself?
That's a lot of people, where it makes a huge difference,
right? And there's a lot of people hearing this will be going, well, I've never heard you talk about this before. That's why I don't talk about it. I very rarely talk about this ever on the air or with it, because you don't want to hear me talk about that. I'm not here to push anything on anybody,
right?
And my whole thing is
on the same side, you don't want anyone pushing anything on you,
right? And I don't think it's fair that whatever you're doing, I don't think it's anyone's job to come in and say you're doing it wrong.
No.
Because those people have the same challenges you have in your life. They can pretend like they've got it figured out. They don't. We're all kind of at the same baseline. We have to figure out our own lives. We have to raise our kids.
It's
we have to do the best we can.
Everybody.
So basic, like, it's all basic tenant stuff. Decency. Being willing to apologize when you've done something wrong. That's something everyone's missing these days. Like, if I screw up, I am happy to admit it and accept it. And I don't have a problem with it. And some people may see it as weak, but that's just built into me.
But that's your human nature.
Right. So I guess what I'm saying is, if you want to get all tied up, specifically Mormonism, if you want to get all tied up with controversial stuff like, oh, well, it's too stringent, or, oh, they have a checkered past.
But let's admit, there's controversy with every religion out there.
No, I know.
And then there's things that they do really well and are good for people. So
I'm just speaking to her question in particular. So it's like, if you want to get all bunged up in, oh, back in the 1800s, there was polygamy.
Everybody seems to bring that up.
After 1886, there wasn't, but there was before that. So people bring that up. So there's your stereotype. Or if it's a more modern one, like, they don't drink caffeine, or they don't... Like, if you want to get all bunged up in that stuff, you'll spin around in circles, just like you would if you want to dig deep into, like, troubling Catholicism history or troubling stuff in the South with Baptists and the segregation movement or anti-segregation movement, all that sort of stuff. If you really want to find problems with your organized religion, I promise you there is 400 miles of it in every direction if you're looking for it. But if you're looking just to be a positive influence on the lives of other people,
which usually
you can
will
find
make
it.
You a happier person.
And I'm not prescribing my brand or anyone else's brand. Whatever gets you there, I hope it gets you there. But I was taught at a very young age and my entire life that that's all that mattered. Everything else is periphery and stupid. Now, that being said, I know for a fact... Okay, this is about to get real personal. I know for a fact... What?
No.
You made a hand... What was that about?
What are you getting personal about? You're going off.
You went like this.
Because you're going off.
Well, what's wrong with that? Nothing. So I'm just going to say this thing. So why I get so frustrated with my fellow people I know who grew up like I did, who, see, this is going to be hard because people who love Trump are going to hate what I'm about to say. But I'm saying we know better about the kind of man he is. And so those like me who know better, that still pull the lever for that guy really frustrate me. At the same time, everyone's got their own path. They all got to do their own thing. But I will admit that drives me crazy because now I got to, you know, the COVID ever lifts and we're back to sort of regular association with people. It's going to be hard for me to, there's certain people I'm just going to be like, dude, don't stand up and tell me you believe this one thing, but then you're happy to support this other thing. And I don't just mean a political line. Like, yeah, we're a very Republican state, but I'm as purple as they get when it comes to character. I want somebody nice and good and decent and caring and careful and, you know, as best as I can get. It's not ever going to be perfect, but as close as I can get. Well, right now, it's not even close. It's not even close. I voted for Bob Dole because I think he was close. I voted for Mitt Romney because I think he's close. I voted for Obama in 08 because I think he's close. I voted for Bush Jr. the first year because it felt like he was close. I'm not sure he was in the end, but he was close-ish. They're all closer than this, is what I'm saying.
Yes.
So that's all I'm saying. And if you're offended by that, I apologize, and there's not much I can do for
you. And I apologize for Scott getting political on our show.
I'm not getting political.
A little tiny bit.
Well, it's election day. We can get a little political.
Okay.
What I'm saying is...
You're awfully
short
with me today, mister.
No. Those tenets of, like, decency, caring about other people as much as you do about yourself, just being willing to give yourself just a little bit, it matters. And so I wish it mattered more to more people right now. That's all. So I hope that answers your very difficult question. Kim, anything to add?
Nope, I'm good. I got shushed, basically.
Well, I'm not shushing you at all.
You're like, no.
I'm not shushing you. What I'm saying is, okay, here's something you do that's good about an organized church. Sometimes the people that you go help because you want to help them, you don't know about outside of somebody let you know within that structure.
True.
That's nice. It's like, oh, the lady up the street's just had surgery and can't, and she hasn't, they haven't had dinners for 3 days. I'm going to make dinner for 3 days and take
care
of her.
I'm not sure that I would know about it otherwise. You're right.
Right. I mean, you've always been that way. And so when I married you, I knew that you had the gospel of Blaine in you. it's not about platitudes and just written words and just saying what everyone says to say and all that. It's not any of that. None of that matters. Like these kids I teach, it isn't about teaching them a really important
church thing. Make sure you do this and make sure you do that. No, it's not about that.
It's helping them for their lives and also just feeding off of their positivity.
And have them be a good person. That's what you want them to take away.
I want to be better than their parents. That's what I want. And I want them to have I want their generation to be better than us.
And you want them to have the strength to be okay with being better than their parents.
Yeah, and whether they are doing that within a church structure or they're going to do it elsewise, I don't care. That's not the part that matters. The part that matters to me is them as individuals, where they're headed, the lives they'll affect, the positivity they'll leave, and their willingness to accept that they're not perfect either and make mistakes and then make up for them. Like, that's all I care about.
Yeah.
That's what I want to die with.
And it's not like you can walk up and down the street and tell people this. So that gave you an outlet to talk to kids in an age that was very, very moldable to be able to say, this is what I think life is about and what's important.
Yeah, like I taught...
And it's good for them to hear.
I have this lesson I always teach called faith is belief in action. And it applies to anything. If you really believe something and you think it's important, it doesn't matter that you do. You have to do something about it. So... if Kim really thinks it's important that the sprinklers get shut off before the pipes freeze,
then you have to get out there and do it.
You can't just go, man, I sure hope those pipes shut themselves off.
Or don't freeze.
Right. So if you're like, oh, I really feel like, you know, I watched a documentary. I hadn't told you about this, but I watched a documentary for my recommendal tomorrow on TMS. So it's a bit of a spoiler for some. But it's about disabled kids in the 70s and a camp they went to. The name of the movie is called Crip Camp, just came out.
I saw the previews for that.
Mm-hmm. And it follows these same, a bunch of these same kids that were at these camps, and then they all became, they think the camp had a huge influence on this. They all became like major figures in getting accessibility laws passed.
Oh, that makes
and
sense.
Things like ramps and curbs having dips so you can get your wheelchairs over them, and job opportunities not being shut down to people who are perfectly able to do a job but are have cerebral palsy or 100 other problems.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a choke up thing. I was crying in it.
Yeah,
I'll admit
I bet.
It. But my point is, what was my point? Well, that might be why I'm feeling this way right now, because I watched that and I'm just in a mood.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I just want people to be kind to each other. Yeah. I want to see people be happier. And it doesn't mean that...
Do good things for the right reasons.
It doesn't mean I'm saying I'm no more than the potato I know I am. I know I am. I know I'm a potato. But if I had advice, it would be cut through all the stereotypes you think you have about anybody. And just look at good... deeds. If somebody does something nice, great. If they come up to you and go, you're going to hell because of this or that. And we heard the other day, there's a lady who's so... What was the thing with... She so hates abortion. Or no.
She was yelling at the doctor, telling him he was going to go to hell while performing her abortion.
Her abortion.
It's
She
insane.
Couldn't even park that at the door. She took her quote-unquote pro-life stance in with her as she is getting an abortion she chose to get.
Because she felt that she was making the right decision by doing this, but it was his wrong decision to ever do this at all.
Yeah, so quit putting yourself in pretzel mode and just live a life.
And try to be
nice.
Be a good one.
Yeah, try to be nice to people. Let people have the liberties you have and accept the fact that
they are going to make different decisions than you.
Well, not only that, but they're in different situations than we're in. Like,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
There are people who couldn't vote 3 days early in the car. There are people right now in line that'll be there for 8 hours, and I feel terrible for them. They shouldn't have to do that. Like, there's unfairness at every turn. That's life. That life is unfair in lots of ways. So, do what you can with what you have. Influence those around you. That's church.
That is church. That's a religion all on its own.
And that may get me in trouble with church. Like, there's going to be some people going, no, that's not true. You got to go do this and do that. Okay. I'm not going to fit any template. I refuse. Oh, did this shut off? Let's make sure it didn't. No, we're good. I refuse to fit in any particular template that's handed to me, except for the one.
And all the people that know Scott really well are good with this because they know him really well.
Well, same goes for you. Same goes for you. Like, you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. You're more perfect than I am.
Oh, whatever.
But we're trying to make a more perfect union.
There you go.
Like the country.
Right? There you go.
Then you notice none of that language has ever been a more... We're trying... You know, it's not a more... I keep hearing the Schoolhouse Rock version in my head. A more perfect union. But no one ever said a perfect union. They
it's
say
a more perfect union.
Getting that meaning and implying, I think pretty explicitly, it's about the struggle, it's about the journey. It's not about some end point that you achieve and then, oh, it's perfect now.
We're never going to be at an end point where everything is perfect for everybody.
No.
I'm sorry. It's not going to happen.
So you can get all,
So let's try to get a little better than we were yesterday, a little better than we were 4 years ago. Let's just try to do a little better every day.
Yeah. Put the oxygen on yourself and then share it with everybody around you like you're on a plane going down.
And with that, I think
we're
done.
I think we're done. Do you have anything you want to add to my rant?
I'm good.
Okay. Maybe this is why I don't ever talk about this stuff, because I'll go off, but I don't.
It's okay. It's good to do that every once in a while. It's good for people to know where you stand with that.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it works well for us.
Oh, that's totally why
it works for us. As a couple, as a family, that we're trying to teach our kids the same thing.
Keep,
we're telling you.
Keep in mind, it's like, I annoy people on all sides all the time. Like, on the one hand, I'm anti-abortion in the sense that I think it's the hardest thing anyone could possibly ever choose to do, and I would never want to do it myself. But 100% their
it
choice.
It should be a choice.
It's their choice, not mine. And guess
what
that goes against?
You're not in their situation, I know.
But here's the funny thing. Mormons, or people in the LDS faith, they have you know, specific rules about that. They say abortion, no abortion unless there's incest or rape involved. These are hard topics.
Yeah.
You go down south, and they think that we're a bunch of liberal weirdos.
Yeah.
Because they don't have any exceptions.
They don't have any exceptions.
Which I have huge exception with. But at the same time, I'm a little bit cross with people around here because I think a woman's body is hers and not mine. I hate to say it.
It is not. I'm glad I don't have to make that choice is what Scott is saying. He's glad
I'm
he doesn't
so
have
glad
to
I never have
choice.
To make that choice. And I'm really glad that they currently have that choice. And I hope many of them make the choice of I'm going to keep them. But also the circumstances aren't my mine to choose. I don't get to choose.
Circumstances are so different.
It's not mine to choose. So that may sound contradictory, but that's just because you have all bought into the binary choice choosing of modern society.
You can't just be one way or the other. There's
way
too
freaking
many,
F it.
Too way too many.
Hi, Carter.
Variables there.
You have anything to add?
To what?
We're about to end up here. We're about done. You want to say anything?
Be good to each other.
Oh, that's nice. She wasn't even here for that part.
We taught her well.
We taught her well.
I didn't hear anything.
All right,
I
know. Everybody.
I don't know what's going on.
All right. Well, we got Christmas crap up. I forgot to mention that.
Oh, yeah.
Kim put it up on the 1st of the month.
I'm very, very excited to have Christmas decorations up. It
on November 1st. November 1st.
We'll have them up for our Thanksgiving dinner. It's fine. They make me happy to have lights up and decorations. And
I'm not poo-pooing it. I love it. I don't know when music will start, but when it does.
Not yet.
No.
And you're for the music.
And you're only doing...
the Hallmark movie.
She's doing Hallmark movie adjacent movies. Like you watch 13 going on 30. And
that's
because
it's still November.
Right. But it feels like it's inching closer.
It's inching closer.
Because you went from Deadwood to The Wire to that.
Yes. That's what I do. And then I go from there to a cooking show. Like my genre of shows is all over the map.
It's all over the place. She lubricated a little bit the process with this weird this weird Australian comedy I'd never heard of. Like you've got a weird thing going on.
I know.
But anyway, as a result, the house is really festive right now and I'm not going to complain. I like it.
I'm in a cooking mood.
You helped
I'm
mom.
In a Christmas
Janice.
Decorating
all right,
mood.
What?
You I'm did in a month? Cooking mood and Christmas
what
mood.
What about lights on the outside? We're going to do that.
I already did on the front.
We're going to make Christmas cookies.
I didn't even know.
You haven't been outside.
Ow, that was hot. A drip hit me.
A drip.
All right, everybody. Thank you all very much. We'll see you next time. Don't forget skimshow@gmail.com for those emails. skimshow@gmail.com. And speaking of Carter, we'll be playing more Alien Isolation at some point. We don't know when. So if you want to watch us scream and be idiots,
when
that's
we both
a fun
have
thing.
Time and kind of win.
It makes me want to watch the Alien movies again.
Oh yeah,
we should do that.
We should. Carter was Ripley for Halloween.
We can stop it too.
My dog's name is Ripley.
Yeah, it's perfect.
3's great, but it has an uncomfortable prison thing in it. The scene still gives me a little bit.
Should I just watch it on my own?
No. You know how it is. Like the other night, we were all watching something, and some scene came on that was a little inappropriate. And you guys are adults.
I feel like it was The Wire because there were some boobs.
It might have been The Wire. And so here's what I do. It comes on screen and I go,
it gets just really.
You just make a lot of noise.
Yeah, that's it. I don't know what else to do.
It's funny because half the time we're on our phones not looking.
Yeah.
And you doing that makes us look up.
I know.
I draw attention to it.
Yeah, you do.
The crap is wrong with me. All right. Be good to yourselves and to others. And we'll see you on the other side of Election Night.
Have a great
2020.
Week.
Bye now.
Ready for breakfast? Here's the table. Father, Bill, and Mabel.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.